Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Mad Dog, Chris Russo. It's an All-Star Tuesday in downtown Cleveland. Dog, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Hey there, boys. Adam and Dustin, how are you today, pal?
We're great, man. You excited?
Yeah, but listen, I tell you one thing you notice about All-Star games. I mean, I don't know if the rest of the country gets as wrapped up on it like the host city does, but this is my sixth or seventh year for the MLB Network, at least Cincinnati and San Diego and, you know, obviously, you know, last year in D.C. and everything else. Minnesota, the town is really into it. I mean, I've been here for 2.5 days. Indians jerseys all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
It's sort of like a summer fiesta. The House of Blues is hopping. Ballpark's been busy last night. I mean, so the city of Cleveland has responded. I don't know if Baltimore cares or if, you know, Phoenix, Arizona is that wrapped up in it. But at least from a Baltimore, from a Cleveland standpoint, people are involved. Case closed. People are involved.
Doug, would you rather be at the All-Star game or at Wimbledon right now?
Oh, I'd rather be at Wimbledon. If I had my druthers, I would rather be there at Wimbledon. I've been watching the last 2 days.
Yeah, it's been great.
I'll be in. Hopefully we get Federer and Nadal on Friday.
That'd be sweet.
Federer's got tough match tomorrow. He could lose Nishikori.
Yeah.
I've been into Wimbledon. The weather's been good there. No rain. It's funny. They build the roofs, and there's been never any rain the last 10 years. It's an amazing thing. That rained forever in Wimbledon. Now they build two roofs up, and it doesn't rain. But I've been completely into Wimbledon. I've been watching that. I'd rather be there. But I'll tell you, the city of Cleveland, as usual, it's a great sports town. It's done a good job this weekend.
One quick tennis question before we get back to baseball, Dog. How about Coco Gauff? I mean, she's been 15 years old. It's just incredible what she did.
Yeah, she had a hell of a tournament. She didn't play well against Halep. That's to be expected. And seems like a very good kid. You know,
yeah.
The father played hoops at Georgia State. She's got good genes. Her mother was a Florida State track and field star. She's got a big forehand. She's got some weapons. You know, she's going to certainly get bigger and stronger. She's only 15 years of age. Seems like she's got good mental makeup. You know, she's going to be a very good player. And she's going to break in at 150 in the world on Monday with the latest rankings. So if she wants to play, remember, they got rules of how much you're allowed to play in the WTA based on how old you are. So she can't play as much tennis as you think she would be able to because she's 15. She's got to be a little older before she can play anything she wants. So it's only a certain amount of tournaments you're going to see her. I don't think you're going to see her at the U.S. Open, but she is going to be very good down the road. And Serena's played well this week. She played well today. She hung in there in the third set. You know, I would think Serena's going to be the favorite. But, you know, Coco was a big – Wimbledon's had a good couple weeks, and Coco has been a big story. No question about it.
Chris, let's get to the Home Run Derby here because I kind of soured on the Home Run Derby in recent years. I feel like it's too long. I thought yesterday, obviously, the Jock Peterson, Vlad Guerrero thing was a great highlight, but in the end, neither one won because they were both so gassed after that round. Do you think this thing still needs to be tweaked, or are you happy with the way it is?
I think you make a good point. I think, you know, Peterson took out Guerrero for Alonso.
Yeah.
But I think they like to move it and make it a little quicker between batter to batter. It's still a little too long. But Petitti, who put it together, did a great job with the brackets. It's certainly so much better than it used to be.
Yes.
It still drags a little bit. I completely agree. You know, that first round takes forever to get through those four quarterfinals. But the three-swing thing was very good.
Love that.
I mean, I think they did I think the ratings were up 2%, which is not terrible. You know, last year, don't forget you had Harper, which probably generated a little more juice than normal when he won it in D.C. But I think that they have done a pretty good job, and he's crafty. Petitti did the NCAA tournament for CBS forever.
Yeah.
He knows how to put together a good TV product. He's done a good job with it. I think, listen, as far as kids hitting home runs with, you know, fungal pitching, essentially, I can't get that wrapped up in it. But for what it's supplies. There was energy in the ballpark last night, even after Santana lost. So
right.
I think baseball is probably pretty pleased.
We're talking with Chris Mad Dog Russo, Mad Dog Radio, of course. High Heat on MLB Network, normally at 1. You're on at 4 today, Chris, right?
The 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
4 o'clock today. CC Sabathia, by the way. Today.
Nice.
And that would be a good spot because we can talk to CC about his Indian days and about Hall of Fame and all those kinds of things.
Nice. All right. We'll look forward to that 4 o'clock again today. You know, we had Commissioner Manfred on yesterday. We talked a bunch of things, but one of the things I asked him about was, you know, this idea of the runner on second base in the extra innings. I'm guessing you hate it as much as I do. I've liked some of the new rules. I didn't like the intentional walk at first, and now I'm fine with it. I didn't like the limits on the pitcher visits, and now I'm fine with it. But I hate the runner. I'm fine with it in the All-Star game, Chris, but I hate the idea of a runner on second base in extra innings in games that matter.
I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I don't like it either. I don't know how they can do it tonight. Get this game over with. It's really an exhibition game. The quicker they get it over with, the better. So I don't have a problem if they don't want to run out of pitchers like they did that one year in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So if they want to do that here, I'm okay with it. I'm with you. I think the problem that baseball's got a lot of problems right now, but the big problem that I think that baseball has right now is they have taken away, in a lot of ways, the team's most exciting player, the big starter, and they basically have taken him out of the fourth quarter. Can you imagine if LeBron didn't play in the fourth quarter, or Crosby didn't play in the last 6 minutes?
Yeah.
I mean, the pitchers don't, the great pitcher, after 6 innings, he's out of the game. And I think that's where the reliever comes in, because, next year with the 3-batter minimum, I think that will help a little bit of stretching out the starting pitcher. And I think the baseball's got a problem with the idea that, the big starter pitches 6 innings. And, there was always something fun to watch the great starting pitcher navigate through that lineup, 7th, 8th innings in big spots. And now he doesn't get a chance to do that.
Yeah.
That's why Verlander's performance against the Yankees 2 years ago when he beat him in Game 6 and Game 2 was fun to watch because, he's trying to get through the Yankee lineup in a do-or-die game, and he did. And that is fun to watch. And baseball's lost a lot of that. So I'm all for minimizing the relief pitcher because I think he's too dominant. And I think the next issue that baseball has to do, and we don't know what it is, to get pace of play, baseball's got to figure out a way to get more activity. You can't have more strikeouts than hits.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know that everybody is screaming and yelling about these tight balls and like titleist 4v1s, the way they leave the ballpark.
Yeah.
And I understand that. But the idea that Verlander says that, Manfred knows about a bunch of nonsense. I think Rob Manfred, in the middle of the wintertime, went down to the Dominican Republic to tell the folks to make tight ball. He didn't do that. I do think the ball is, I think it's drawn too tight, and that's one of the reasons why these balls travel forever. But I think that's a year-to-year thing. That's you can't make the same product equally every year. And I think, that will change the other way. So, baseball's got some issues, and I've always said, and I said this for a long time, baseball needs to figure out a way to get involved in a national conversation. You put ESPN on TV, you put FS1 or Fox on TV, and they talk NBA and they talk NFL. That's what the young host likes to talk about. And the baseball, it's almost like there's not enough young guys on there, on TV or radio for that matter, who want to talk radio. And the most national radio shows, I know I do it, most national radio shows talk very little baseball.
Yeah, that's true.
And baseball's got to figure out a way to get more involved in the sports conversation. And I get a funny feeling sometimes they're trying, but they have not succeeded. And I don't know how you succeed that. I mean, we did Kawhi Leonard until the cows came home.
Yeah.
And once training camp comes, here in Cleveland especially, Arizona with Kyler Murray, who the hell is going to care about baseball? So that's what baseball has to try to overcome, staying relevant for the whole year. And I'll see if they can. It's a long process. I know the commissioner's nervous about it. That's what they have to figure out.
How do you do it? I mean, talk radio, you obviously you do it. You've been doing it forever. With baseball in general, it just seems like to talk baseball, you have to talk to people who know the game.
Yeah.
The baseball diehards can get it. But to me, Russo, it's kind of boring. So how do you spice it up a little bit?
Listen, I understand. Baseball, the commissioner's office was in love with the games in London. I mean, to me, they played 9 hours to play 2 games. I mean, that's 4 hours and 45 minutes on that Saturday 17-13 game. That's just way too long. I mean, I have 4 teenagers. They're not going to sit there and watch a 4-hour and 45-minute game. I mean, that's all there is to it. And baseball's got to figure that problem out. I mean, a 9-inning, 4-hour, 45-minute game. And if your team is out of it, as, you know, let's say the Indians don't make the playoffs, who in Cleveland's going to care about a, you know, twin Astro playoff series with the Browns playing? I mean, who's going to care, you know, I'll give you another one. Who's going to care about a Milwaukee-Philadelphia playoff series outside of those two cities in the month of October? You know, St. Louis, I mean, St. Louis will care. It's a baseball town, but you get the idea. None of fans care. Baseball is very good locally. It's not good nationally. Yeah, and you could do local Yankees and Mets in New York every day, 5 hours. You can probably at times do a lot of Indians. You can do in St. Louis, you can do plenty of Cardinals. I'm sure you can do Cubs, White Sox. You can talk Giants at KNBR. But, I mean, nationally, you're not going to, if your team stinks, you're not going to break down the NL Central race.
No.
And I think, and that's a problem. I don't know how they solve that. I do on radio, but I'm not going to get nine lines on it. But I do because I force the audience to listen to it. So I do, but generally speaking, it's tricky. I don't know how they solve the problem. It's a major problem for them.
Yeah, it's true. It's different than, you know, hey, frankly, I was a teenager listening to you and Mike in New York, and you guys are talking baseball all the time, obviously. That's what I did when I was working part-time in New York. I remember Jody Mack doing overnights, reading box scores on overnights on The Fan.
Riveting radio.
I liked it.
I mean, Tuesday night in the football season, if the Seahawks are playing the 49ers, and it's interesting, you can get some mileage out of that if you're a talk show.
Yeah, right.
Tuesday night in October, and it's a Brewer-Diamondback playoff game.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Right. No, it's a fair point.
I mean, and that's all you need to know. That's the best way to explain it.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they solve that. I think it's problematic for them. I think Manfred is trying. I know the pace of play initiatives and everything else, and the sport's done well locally. They're making money. It's a $10 billion industry. They branded it. You know, they go to London. They go to Monterey. They go to Japan. You know, the playoff system's pretty good. Only 33% of their teams make the postseason, unlike the NBA where it's more than 50 or the NHL. So, I mean, you have to be good to get in, which is good. They play a ton of games. It lasts 6 months. The games themselves take way over 3 hours. And in 2019, Colin Russo, a 17-year-old, unless he's got a feel on the game, that's going to bother him.
Yeah.
I don't know how you solve it.
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky. I think there's a few things. Yesterday we talked about, this sounds silly to me, and maybe probably to you too, Chris, because like I don't care about sneakers, but kids love sneakers, and like that's a big thing with basketball players. How about if you let baseball players have their own individual shoes, and let's hype up the individual players a little more and get the, like, we played a clip from Mike Trout yesterday, Chris. I guarantee you 90% of our audience, if I had not said it was Mike Trout that we're playing,
they wouldn't have known who it was.
Nope, and you know all the basketball players. You know Tom Brady. You know Peyton Manning. You know Baker Mayfield when he talks.
Sure.
And nobody knows what these – outside of maybe Bryce Harper, maybe Aaron Judge, nobody knows what these guys sound like.
Yeah, those two are good ones. You came up with the two who are a little bit of a household name. I don't know what the answer is for that.
Yeah.
You know, part of it is Trout's in Anaheim, and his games are at 10:30 at night.
Yep.
You know, part of it is that, a little bit of that. You know, I also think part of it is, you know, ESPN, and they're omnipresent. You know, they spend so much time in the NBA. They gave the NBA $1.4 billion on a year-to-year basis. So they feel they're going to do nothing but the NBA day in and day out, and they do the football.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why the Home Run Derby had some juice last night, because people go to ESPN and people watched it a little bit on ESPN. Now, the one thing I will say, the NBA, you know, their NBA final ratings were – I don't want to hear about Toronto either, because I know if everybody says, well, it's Canadian market.
Yeah.
Their NBA finals ratings were awful. I mean, you know, the Red Sox Dodgers, which is not a good series at all, did better than the Raptors and Golden State. Now, people wouldn't realize that if you just watch ESPN. Their ratings were true. They were down 25% across the board. They did not have LeBron in the postseason. The Eastern Conference ratings were terrible. And, you know, tell me if you're in Charlotte, Memphis, Detroit, you know, I'd give you more. Tell me if you're in those kind of cities that you're that revved up on NBA basketball.
No.
You know, football doesn't have that problem. Because football's, you know, outside of Jacksonville maybe, Football doesn't have that problem. All their markets are completely into it. But a lot of this is fueled by ESPN. If ESPN is emotionally involved in the sport, and they are in basketball more than in arm baseball, they promote it to a degree that it's all over the place. They don't promote baseball the same way. They don't do the postseason.
True.
They only do a couple games a week. They do the Home Run Derby. It's a little different. They don't have as much of a vested interest as they do in the NBA and in football. And that's a problem for baseball.
Yep.
That's a problem. You know, FS1 is not going to generate the same sort of thing as ESPN. That's what it's true.
No doubt.
I'll tell you, I come here. I've been at the All-Star game 6 years. I go to the World Series every year. I go to the winter meetings. You know, part of it, I'm forced to because I work for the network. As from a radio perspective, I would go to the World Series anyway. And there's no radio stations at the World Series.
Right.
I mean, I'm the only one said Dan Patrick's not there.
Right.
You know, Colin Cowherd is. I like Colin. He's not there. You guys, if the Indians aren't there, you're not going to Dodgers Red Sox.
No, certainly not.
You know, New York. I give you a good one. Yankees to the Dodgers in the World Series. New York's not going to the road games. They go to the Yankee Stadium.
Right.
But they're not shipping a broadcasting crew out to Dodger Stadium in 2 days. You know, money and everything else are not doing it. So baseball, and they all go to the Super Bowl. You know?
Right.
So from that standpoint, you know, it's a baseball is it's an uphill climb for them. But we all know the audience is older.
No doubt.
An uphill climb.
We're talking with Chris Mad Dog Russo. Chris, so let's talk about the Indians here for a minute, because obviously they got off to a terrible start. They have the best record in baseball since the start of June. Now, it piled up a lot of wins against really bad teams. They played a lot of Royals and Tigers and Blue Jays and Orioles. But they did take 2 out of 3 against the Yankees, 2 out of 3 against the Twins, 2 out of 3 against the Red Sox over the last month, and 3 out of 4 against a decent Reds team that's played pretty well overall since the second week of the season. They're 5.5 back of Minnesota after being 11.5 back. They play the Twins right after the break, 3-game series here, and then another 2 weeks against Kansas City, Detroit, Toronto, and then their schedule is tough the last 2 months. Yet there's still talk about maybe trading Bauer, maybe trading Hand. It's a tricky spot, only one trade deadline now. We got, 3 weeks till the trade deadline. What would you do if you're the Indians with Bauer?
I think there's a couple of teams in baseball that are a very slippery slope. I can come up with a team, you know, a team maybe like a Pittsburgh, an Arizona in the National League, but the Indians in the American League. It's a medium market with a very good front office, with a great manager that has some good players on it, and in a historically a good baseball town. And here it is. They are not going to spend $170 million on players. They have a couple of guys, including Lindor and now Bauer, that they're going to have to make decisions on, and most likely both will go. And they're in a division that stinks, yet they're in a league that's got the Yankees and the Astros and the Red Sox. So in order for them to go to a World Series and win it, they have to theoretically beat the Yankees and Houston back-to-back. They didn't beat Houston last year. The Yankees, where their window was really big, they should have won that series. 2 years ago, the Indians were probably the best team, and they lost in 5 games to the Yankees. So the Indians...
Yep.
Cannot be great every single season, but they realize if they just try a little bit, they can make the postseason because the division stinks. But, you know, making the postseason and with the payroll of $100 million and not adding and trying to dipsy do with the Brendan Guyers in the world in the outfield, you're not beating the Yankees in a 5-game series. You're not beating Houston in a 7-game series.
Yeah.
And that puts the Indians in a very tricky situation, especially for a franchise that hasn't won since 1948. So I don't know what the answer is. You know, the owner's not going to go out there and have a payroll of $180 million. He's going to, you know, they did bring in Encarnacion in, so it's not like he tried. I mean, you can't kill him for not trying. But, I mean,
but they cut the payroll this year, dog. They cut $20 million off the payroll. That was inexcusable to me this year, cutting the payroll.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have done that. What is their payroll right now? But
I think it's 120-something. Like, last year it was 140-something, 150. And now it's 120
and this
something.
Year's about 120 when they're at
120.
220.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It makes it tricky for them. And so now they're playing well. You said a lot of it against the garbage, but they're playing well. So what do you do? Do you trade Bauer? I mean, do you trade a guy that you feel is not going to be there long term, a pitcher? Do you have a great market? He's signed next year. For next year, do you trade him? And if you do that, and for young prospects, most of you could use offense, outfielders, if you do that, well, then you're going to get killed for waving a white flag.
Right.
So it becomes a major dilemma for the franchise. The division hurts them. See, if they were in the American League East, with the Yankees and the Red Sox every year, you know, it's easier to do what the Orioles do. You know, let's just totally break it down and let's see if we can wait the Yankees and Red Sox out and 5 years would be good. But with the Indians, they can't do that because this division stinks. Royals stink. I mean, the White Sox get a little better. Minnesota's having a good year. But overall, the division isn't that good.
Yeah.
So the temptation is always to try to win 90 games and take your chances.
Yeah.
But then you got to play in the extra game if you don't win the division. It's a very tricky spot for the franchise. So your answer in the long term, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a now manager. They got kind of a now team. We know they're not going to sign Lindor. We get that. So they got to sort of thread that needle where they're trying to be competitive and also look for the future. That is a very, very hard line to run. It really is. So the Yankees, you know, they can rebuild a little bit, but they're going to try to win every season. The Dodgers are going to try to win every year. The Red Sox are going to try to win every year. The Astros, with Crane now spending a fortune, they're going to try to win every year. But those four teams, all right. Teams like the Indians and Tampa, you know, they're sort of caught between a rock and a hard place. It's a very tricky spot. I don't know what they're going to do with Bauer now. I think 2 weeks ago they would have traded him. Now they're five out. They beat the Twins. They get outlined the schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't win the division, they can certainly play for the wild card. But then you're only playing for one game.
Right.
And you go out there and you go crazy to try to play for one game and the team wakes up with a bad headache and you're down 5-0 in the fourth inning. I mean, and then season's over 2.5 days after the season ended on a Sunday.
Yeah.
It's very tricky. It's a tough spot for them.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think if they feel like they're in it, they should stick with it, but we'll see. Chris, we appreciate it as always,
thanks,
man. Thanks for joining us.
Keep it going. Always a pleasure.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.